Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Hall. Got a great show lined up for you. I want you to stay tuned because we got some very useful information for the last days. You know that we are in the end time, and the results are demonstrating themselves to prove that the scriptures are forever true. We're going to go to the book of Job, chapter 2, and I'm going to talk about tonight, again, part 2 of these enticing spirits that must be tried and weighed in the balance to see whether they are of the Creator. First thing I want to alert you to is Job chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of Yah came to present themselves before Yah, and Satan came also among them to prepare himself before Yah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, with this humiliation that Satan must have felt, thinking that he should be setting above Yahweh, the Creator, that he belonged at the top of the heap, so to speak. In other words, he would exalt, and this plan that Satan enacted brought death, misery, heartache, sorrow, suffering. It's amazing what all this has caused for original man who was created to live forever with eternal life. In Psalms 148, 2 and 5, or 2 through 5, it says that the angels are created beings. I want you to remember that. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15, it says that iniquity was found in one of these created beings called Lucifer, the son of morning. Now, what was the flaw that caused the fall both of Lucifer and many of the created beings? If you noticed our introduction song, it talked about 100 million angels singing. And in Revelations 5 and 11, it talks about
a large company of angels. But if you go and look at the scriptures in Luke chapter 20 and verse 36, you'll find that angels do not die. You'll find also that they're commanded not to marry. However, we find in Genesis chapter 6 that somebody led a heavenly rebellion against the living word of the originator or the creator, or as I must now describe, the big daddy, the one that has the power above all these other angels. Somebody has to report to. And you see, Satan didn't like the humiliation of having to come and give a report, because it says, and Yahweh said to Satan, Lucifer, son of the morning, the fallen one. Now, this is before he failed, but he had these evil intentions. Remember, the Bible said he was perfect until. And you'll know a tree by its fruits, and this tree was in the garden. And this is the fruit that Eve consumed from the family tree of the Luciferians, or now better known as the Cainites, who now inhabit the earth and wreak havoc to continue the blood from the serpent. And by continuing the blood from the serpent, in Luke 20, verse 36, the Father commanded the rest of the angels not to wed or to bring forth offspring. And Satan's rebellion, since that he had known Eve in the garden, and his lust for flesh, and to be not a creator of original, but a perverter of that which had been created in him, and the ability in him himself to bring forth after his own kind, Satan actually created a seed that is shown in detail in Revelations chapter 12 and his mission. And in the book of Matthew, it is expounded upon by our Messiah when he said that Satan was the evil one, Lucifer, the opposer, the one that is opposing everything that is good. And therefore, we brought into being through this fall into what man has now developed. Remember, he didn't have a carnal mind before Satan polluted the womb of the ones that should come through the womb of Eve. Now, if Yahweh got a seed through the woman, and Satan got a seed through the woman, how could it be a single seed? Did you believe that everything sprung from the single seed of Adam? When Adam did not know Eve until she was already impregnated with two seeds. And these seeds, according to Genesis 3:15, 14 and 15, that they would be enmity, a war, a strife between these two seeds. And ladies and gentlemen, I have been in the war for 50 years on the mission field trying to preach the gospel. In Hebrews 1:14, we find out that Paul gave us some inside information on the revelation that these angels are spirit beings. They can appear in human form at will if given permission. Now, those that were unrestrained, there was no law for them to come down and to mix, I'm saying that they could walk among the stones of fire, or the men, or the created spirit beings. But they were told specifically to behave themselves. Do you believe that the devil and his angels that have failed from their steadfastness are now capable of bringing forth seed? Will they return as intelligent beings able to communicate according to 2 Peter 2 and 4? And that they chose to rebel against Yahweh, the Mighty One. Now, there was a meeting of the Mighty Ones, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6. And these meetings were conducted to see what Satan and his offspring and the other angels that were enticed as they saw the daughters of Satan. And they begin to mix and mingle with these daughters, and they created what is called in the Bible Nephilim. Now, these Nephilim beings were powerful. And if you would take the book of Enoch into consideration, this is an amazing figure that I'm going to give you of height. The Bible talked about the offspring being giants in the earth in those days. Now, when we're talking giants, it's almost beyond human comprehension. Have you ever ran across a literal giant? We have some on record, I believe, maybe at the one in Russia that was noted in the 1800s. Only lived for a short time because of his height, and he couldn't adapt to. His lungs were not built up to get enough oxygen, and so he died early. But I believe he was somewhere in the neighborhood of 9. But what about the Bible confirming a giant to be at least 13 foot tall? Personal intelligence and able to communicate. Distinct from man, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Now, by mixing with the woman, a byproduct of the creation of Yahweh, Satan was able to bring in and elicit seed into the earth that would wreak havoc and cause war. Now, what does the Bible say about putting on the whole armor? Now, it starts with the dressing up to prepare. I'd like to tell you that Satan is, at one time he was, a worshiper, because Yahweh said, well, whence comest thou, Satan? And Satan answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So Satan had the run of the earth. So did the other angels. With certain restrictions, they were able to communicate. And the Bible says that they begin to wax wanton. For this cause, a woman ought to have long hair, and it covered upon her body. Now, why? Because of the angels. Angels, the ones that broke rank, this is what caused their lust. These beautiful women that walked in an early paths were so fair and so radiant and so, they were given off radiation of energy and beauty so much that Satan, who had suggested in the garden to Eve, the beautiful radiant being that Yahweh had created, hath God said. And the first attack was on the credibility of his word. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is now bringing forth manifestations of revelations for the last days to get you ready for part two of this continuing saga as it unfolds in the last days when Satan and his angels will be loosed from their prison and will once again walk the earth to and fro, seeking whom they may devour. Now, the whole earth has been prepared for them, especially. Now, let me give you some insight. According to their organization and their rank, now, it's revealed in the Bible, in the present Bible that we have, which is not including the book of Enoch. Remember, I told you that I was going to reveal something to you that would astound you, that the actual hive of these Nephilim that came from the mating of angelic beings who are, as I said, distinct from man, have intelligence with ability to communicate and to choose, and they chose them wise, and broke ranks from the book of Luke, where they were commanded not to marry, Luke chapter 20, verse 36. They were not to marry. They were to refrain themselves from mixing this angelic seed with the flesh of man. And they created what is known in the Bible as Nephilim, who did evil in the sight of Yah, and they roamed the earth unchecked, undisciplined, and according to the book of Enoch, they had such enormous appetites that they literally consumed everything in a vegetable or meat state that they could consume, and then ran out of the food and began to actually, according to the book of Enoch, this is not Pastor Buddy's 23rd chapter of his imagination expressing this to you tonight. I'm expressing it to you in a credible book that the Bible mentions in several places, should have been canonized and put in the scripture. But it tells such an incredible unbelieving. And the Bible says, I'll work a work among you in that day that you won't believe, though a book or a man that is quoting from it will believe, though they declare it unto you. The organization of Michael the Archangel and Gabriel as an angel in the 66 books and the 44 writers and 1189 chapters that we have written in the King James Bible that has been revised several times. And actually, 12 books of the original King James book is no longer there. So then they took away specifically a few books that I thought was very interesting to read. And you can obtain these books that they left out of the canonization of the 1611 revised version, not the 1611 original, because they're in there, that there were angels in the book of Enoch, confirmed in the book of Joshua. Both of these books are mentioned that should have been, I mean, the prophets quoted from them. And it was such an unbelievable things that they were written in the book of Enoch, that actual angels had come down, they had mated, they had offspring that literally grew, now listen to this, 450 feet tall. Amazing. 450 feet. Now with the stoppage, if you will, of the mating, because the father brought in a command to bind the angels that sin. The Bible says in the book of Jude, I'm going there, follow me if you will, into the book of Jude. We'll go other places here. I would like to quote the scripture that I quoted out of the book of Peter, chapter 3. I would also like to give you that, or 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 4. I'll give you an instance here. Listen to this. Likewise, all of these filthy dreamers, these are the offspring of the results of the satanic influence into the earth in a flesh body. This is the war, ladies and gentlemen, by Satan's offspring. Now listen, Satan has been gathered up by the loyal angel that remained loyal, the two-thirds that remained loyal, Psalms 148, 2 and 5. Ezekiel 28:15, that these angelic beings that sinned, according to the book of Jude, Listen to this now in the book of Jude. We're here in chapter 1, of course. And let me give you the story about those angels who were created, who brought forth illicit seed from the garden. Satan got his seed through Eve, just like Yahweh got his seed through Eve, the mother of all living. But Adam was not the father of all living. Satan brought a seed in that professed to live, but Yahweh, in a measure of counter, pronounced death upon the offspring, that he may save the eternal beings who were to incarnate into the earth in the flesh body. Yahweh only made so many spirit beings, according to Hebrews 1:14, and they have a chance to come into the earth to redeem themselves or to prove themselves. And that's actually why we're here, to prove ourselves with the guidelines of the instructor or the schoolmaster, which is the law of Yahweh, to bring forth a demonstration of our faith and power and holiness, that we could bring forth fruit that would be pleasing to him. Listen to what these fallen angels, now listen, what the book of Enoch, it says that in the book of Enoch, and it's recorded in Genesis chapter 6, that these angels came down in the form of flesh bodies, and they can do that according to Genesis 13, proven also in Genesis 18 and 19, that these angels had the ability to communicate, and yet they were distinct or something different about them from man. As I said in Revelation 5 and 11, the Bible speaks about a large company of angels. Also, it says that these angels are organized and ranked. They have certain ranks. Michael was the archangel, and Gabriel was the communicator angel or the messenger angel. And the Bible talks about angels galore in the book of Enoch, which was not canonized and put into print simply because of the unbelievable height of these offspring called Nephilim, of the book of Genesis chapter 6. These Nephilim grew, according to the book of Enoch, 450 feet. They devoured the earth. They ate everything in sight. They had enormous appetites, including they were bloodthirsty offspring. Now, Yahweh came down to see the affairs of man, and with him a company of the Elohim. These Elohim had remained faithful and hadn't broken ranks. Now, the first thing that Satan did, as I said, was he attacked the credibility and the integrity and the character of Yah's word in the garden. Now, if he can get you through a communication and convince you that Yah could be wrong, then he's got you into the grasp of doubting. Now, the Bible said that he that doubts is damned. Now, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 39, it talks about that these angels were created and set apart to be a special messenger or ministering spirits. But as 2 Peter describes, these rebelled against the orders of Yahweh. Now, let me read you here in the book of Enoch, or the book of Jude, which is taken from the book of Enoch. And I'm surprised that they put that in here, but maybe it slipped through the translators and got in here for a purpose. Maybe you need to know something that has been blocked out from you in the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. Maybe when we read the sixth chapter of Genesis, we'll begin to understand that the sons of Yah were the messenger, battle, war angels, and that there was war in heaven over this issue. And when war began, this war has had no end. There's a temporary truce, if you might say, when the mighty angels of Yah bound Satan, Lucifer, and the rebellious angels. And listen to what it says. The angels which kept not their first estate, they dropped below their intended distinction from man. They wanted to join man. They wanted to have offspring with man. This is exciting. This is almost unbelievable. This is almost to the point where men can toy and stir and confuse and cast out and cast down the truth to the ground as they begin to mix and mingle their seed from the satanic. You see, the Nephilim were hunting down, and they were destroyed. These angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, left their own spiritual dimension, and came into flesh bodies, personally able and intelligent to communicate, and they convinced the women of the earth, taking them wives and having these ones called in the Bible Nephilim. These Nephilim grew to be 450 feet in the book of Enoch. We have the Bible accounts of, by the time we got to the house of Israel, they were commanded to kill all of the giants that they encountered, and we know that they strictly, these Israelites, were afraid. They trembled. They said these men in the mountains that are up there entrenched make us, in comparison to size, look like grasshoppers in the valley. Ladies and gentlemen, there were men like you and me that killed these Nephilim and hunted them down without mercy. Here, the Bible says that these fallen ones were taken from the earth because, remember, they can't die. But an offspring of in a flesh body without a soul. You see, Satan couldn't give them a soul of eternal life. He promised them life, but he gave them death. Now, if Satan can kill, steal, and destroy your soul, or cause you to fall from your steadfastness, and cause you to deny, as it is written in the Bible, that in the last days they will depart from the faith, and they will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the most perilous times that I have ever known. There has been such a drastic change in the 50 years that I've been associated with reading the Bible and trying to minister to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that we come down to the point where these demonic influenced demons are now breaking through the entrapment or the prison where they are kept. Remember, it says, and he hath reserved these into everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's remember this. The Heavenly Father is warning you and warning you to come out from among them. This doctrine that we have, that Yahweh and His Word is not settled or it is not true, is basically to draw away, to entice and draw away, just like Satan was trying to, actually draw away the Messiah and cause him to take the things that he could see in the world, see, hear, taste, feel, and smell, the five senses of the outward carnal man, and ask him to fall like he did and join him in this heavenly rebellion. And he promised me, he said, if you will, I'll give you this kingdom and all of the things. And he showed him in a twinkling of an eye as he communicated with and the sign of flesh body. Did you know that angels praise and worship him? Revelations 5, 11, and 12. That they rejoice in a sinner's conversion. How do we convert into the kingdom of heaven? What is the simplified plan? What is so complicated about how to get into the kingdom of heaven? The Father laid the keys upon Peter. As he handed him the keys, as he came out of the depths of hell in the lower prison, as he took the keys of hell and death away from Lucifer, Satan, the opposer, he took these keys because these keys traveled with Satan to the darker underworld regions where Satan became the warden of the prison. Now they remain there, even those who were trapped. In the days of Noah, the Bible said these that were disobedient in the days of Noah were kept in a prison, according to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we find that the Bible is exclusive in Revelation, as we know that Yahweh's judgments will be carried out by the angels who watch over us, according to Hebrews 1:14. That's a mighty scripture. Hebrews 1:14 says that angels will watch over us. Now, the question is, if you've got a choice, if the good angels are encamped around about you for righteousness' sake, then when Satan and his angels are loose, they're going to come to gather up those who have went in the way of Baal and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These same angels that were disobedient will come back to the earth in the last days. Psalms 24:7 will tell you that the angels encamp about you. Psalms 91:11 will confirm again in the mouth of two or three witnesses that they know, they record, they count the very hairs on your head. How do they do this? Because they will have the responsibility of handing our Heavenly Father the final results of our works, the results of our works. We shall be judged according to the deeds done in our body. 2 Kings 19:35 and Matthew 16:27 will tell you that these angels will carry out the very judgment against the wicked. Marvel not, because a execution of a sentence is not swiftly imposed upon the transgressors. And Satan has convinced through demonstration and tradition to bless all these lawbreakers. And all these would fall from their steadfastness and say, Yahweh, do he delays his coming. There's no gain in living and denying yourself. Why don't we just join them and eat, drink, and be merry? Well, that's what they decided in the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, it was a time of spiritual rebellion. And we have this spiritual rebellion going on planet Earth. Planet Earth is alive and well and filled with violence and evil men that have seduced and waxed worse and worse. And the messenger angels are coming in the form of the prophets, where we shall stand forth, and the Bible says, be not forgetful to entertain them. Hebrews 13:2, for some have entertained angels and all that. Well, you know, these flesh beings, these old grizzled prophets, when you meet them, you know there's something unusual or strange about them that you can't put your finger on. Have you ever looked deep into their eyes? it's just possible that that spirit that is locked in that flesh body is one of those angels that you are unaware of. Now, let me give you some collective understanding. Angels are not to be worshipped. As it says in Colossians 2:18 and Revelations 22:8 and 9, Peter, who was chosen with the keys to the kingdom, refused to be worshipped and asked that man that fell at his feet to stand up because he said, I'm a man like you are. Angels are not to be worshipped, but we have now identified certain men in the earth that are passing themselves off as some great leader of some great church, and people worship. But the truth that comes forth from the angels unaware is the written, hard sayings without compromise of the Word of God. You know, I've been criticized as much this month for my firm stand in the gospel than I have in the last 5 years of my preaching. I've always been criticized. I've always had critics. I've had more critics than I've had friends. Oh, there's something wrong with your gospel. I'll tell you what it is. It is too hard. It's uncompromising. Do you not know that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3, that we will judge angels? Let me repeat that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, the saints that have kept the faith, that have walked down here to withstand the temptations of these unholy angels, these beautiful beings that come in flesh bodies, but behind the scenes they are nothing but evil beings. And rebellious, the Bible says that rebellion is the same or greater than witchcraft. When you rebel against God, as they did in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, let's go and read 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. Let me show you what the Bible says. For if God spared not the angels, spared not the angels. Did he kill them? No. It's impossible for an angel to die. He's given something in a created form to live forever. Only man had the curse put upon him to die. Satan and his angels would be tormented in the lake of fire, a separation, an eternal darkness, where they will gnash with their teeth and remember all of Yahweh's sheep that wanted to be goats, that made their choices. Those wicked servants will be brought, you see, they were servants, ladies and gentlemen. They had the opportunity to serve in the kingdom. But they loved the present world. They loved the things of the world. They took what the Messiah refused. They loved the creature conference. You know, two times I was approached by multimillionaires. Over the course of the last 15 years, I have been approached by two millionaires, and some less wealthy, but even more than that, but to be specific, of those who could persuade. And they wanted to buy my ministry, so to speak. And they wanted to run it and control it and limit me or to restrict me in certain doctrines that I was in, I had to come out of, particularly Passover. I shouldn't kill a lamb, they said. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have said this and I'll say it again tonight in public. Those of Jacob Israel, they kept the Passover before Christ ever come. And they kept it by faith. Those that were with him when he came 2,000 years ago, if you believe he did come, and there's some now that's strong from the faith and wouldn't accept that. But they kept it. The Messiah kept exactly 32 Passovers. He lived to be 33. He didn't keep the last one. The last one was in his honor as they killed him on the day of Passover. Now we have a tape on why we keep the second Passover. If you'd like to have it, to know the particulars and the scriptures and the secrets, then all you've got to do is ask, because this is a day when the revelation of the Father will come down in the last day through the sons of Ephraim, Joseph, birthright sons, and the daughters of Jacob, Israel, and the men that will proclaim and affirm that which is preached. There shall be a gathering, a regathering, an eye open. Israel will rise from their sleep, and they will carry out God's judgments of Matthew 16:27. Now listen to me. John 14:30 says there is a prince of this world named Satan. In 1 John 5:19, we find out that this satanic prince, just through the influence of the carnal mind, is controlling the whole world, even though he's in prison. And he's to be loosed in the last day. The chain is going to be cut. Read the book of Revelations, chapter 20, verse 1 through 18 in particular. And you'll see that Satan will be loosed from his prison for a short time. He's called, in 1 John 5:19, the controlling factor of the evil in the world. He's the influence, because his children are doing the job for him. They're performing admirably. The children of darkness is wiser than the children of light. The children of light are so hesitant, so faithless, so wishy-washy and mealy-mouthed, combat, spaghetti for a backbone. They will not stand against the prince of the power of the air that is written about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. He's the God of this age, the New Age concept, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the ruler of authority and the power of this dark world, Ephesians 6:12. Where it reminds us to put on the armor to withstand him. Satan has many names, called the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, Revelations 12:10. Know how Satan will jump on your case and find every fault that you've got when you're preaching the gospel. Oh, you're too hard. Oh, they throwed Micah out of the assembly of the house of Israel because he never said anything that could be construed as constructive. Whatever Israel, the rebellious were, he was against. Whatever Jeremiah was for, the house of Israel was adamantly opposed, and they dug a hole for his reward. They'll cast you into prisons. They'll give you a bad name. They will personally criticize you openly. They have no fear of Yahweh. They're going against the scriptures because they got an interpretation of their own to justify. And Satan will give you that authority of justification and make a seem right way for you when you're actually standing against. Well, for instance, I was stood against in water baptism simply because I was too stern in ordering those. And Paul, the Bible says, and Peter, particularly in Acts 10:48, Peter commanded them. Well, a command is something that must be obeyed. It's not a wishy-washy, hooky-jerky, you can if you want to. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh has got one door open to the kingdom of heaven. I am not preaching the kingdom of heaven because the kingdom of heaven came on the day of Pentecost. It's already here. I'm preaching the way to get into it before the door closes, as it was in the days of Noah. The kingdom was set up on the day of Pentecost. Some people are waiting on it, don't know it's already here. My job is to get you in the door. And Christ said, I am the door to the sheepfold. That's the place where sheep gather, ladies and gentlemen. And no sheep can enter in unclean. He has to be washed. Now, salvation, I know this makes the devil mad when I preach it, and I'm so thankful. I could do a hallelujah dance right now. And if I was free from the mics and the control, I must restrain myself. But I could shout hallelujah, something that the devil can't do. Because when he takes your hallelujahs and your shouts and turns them into hatred and despising preachers of the word, then I know that I'm in the same company, a select elect company of Peter, James, he was killed with a sword, by the way, in the time of Passover. I told you about that. But the ruler and the authority and the power of this dark world, who will persecute you, imprison you, and hate you for the namesake that you teach for water baptism, for the remission of sin. You see, water baptism is the soul authority through the word of God that you must obey before you can get into the door. You must have the Father's name, Revelation 22 and 4, and Revelation 14 and 1. You must have the name in your forehead. This is the knowledge and the power to retain your faculty and to overcome the authority and power of this dark world and to save yourself through obedience. All I've got to do, Brother Buddy, is spread my wings and fly away. I'm just about ready to do it. Glory to God. I don't need water baptism. That's out of the Jewish rituals or the Catholic theology. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil has now attacked the central revelation of interest into the world that the devil and his angel cannot come. You know what? They're not his sheep. And if you kick against the pricks of the influence of a minister preaching, you know, a minister that comes preaching you salvation will preach it exclusively in one name. He gives you two, one. He gives you three, and that's more than the devil believes in, because the devil believes there's one Yahweh, and he trembles. And that Yahweh's got a name above every name, and that name Yahweh has got the salvation that can save you through obedience. You can claim you're saved. You can smear a little peanut butter. If the Bible said peanut butter, everybody would have been using apple butter. If it said apple butter, they'd been using peanut butter. But it said water for the remission of sins, and then they climb up some other way. But Revelation 12 and 10, says that the devil will influence the people of the world to accuse you. You see, I've been accused so much that my face has become like flintstone. And when the going gets tough, that's when I really want to preach. But I ain't got nobody that will debate me. I preached this on the radio for the last 8 years. And I have a warm preacher that will get enough of ability or courage, whatever it takes. And he should have a little bit of both if he wants to come and use the sword. And if you think I bear the sword in vain, you're very wrong. I will cut your spiritual head off if you come in a satanic spirit. I will bring blood with the gospel of salvation. The Bible says that the gospel will stop every mouth. Did you know that Satan is called a murderer in John 8:44, and they're trying to take that out because it's too indicting to a specific ethnic group in the earth called Canaanites that the preachers have quit preaching about? Pastor Buddy hadn't quit. But did you know that when the gospel is sowed, when he would do good, he was always written according to Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, he'll come and snatch away the good seed of the gospel. Well, don't let Satan do that to you tonight. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Satan sowed the bad seed of Matthew 13:39, and he masquerades around, and so does his children, as angels of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. His servants bring doubt, uncertainty, confusion, fear, anxiety, and darkness. And the latter end of all that is to kill you, to steal you, and destroy you. Our Messiah came to destroy Satan and his works. 1 John 3:8. Read it, if you will. I've got to go. I apologize for the lack of time, but I'd like to really get in this message and bring it forth. But I appreciated the time that I've spent with you tonight. This is Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Home. If you'd like to write me, simply write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's, again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight. Give me a call and tell me at least you got the last 15 minutes of the show that we brought to you tonight, the Word of Yahweh. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now, that's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to join us in tithing into the Shepherd's Call Ministry, for the sake of radio time, we are now, you see, just as when we begin to think about expanding our radio time, Satan comes against the ministry with everything that he can throw at it. And ladies and gentlemen, old Pastor Buddy is not ignorant of Satan's device. I'm not soon moved by unbelief. And even if it works in a brother that you took sweet counsel, don't be surprised if some turn away in the last days, given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, because it's prophesied to come. And then there we know that the Bible is the truth. Let me give you a toll-free number to call for supporting of the Shepherd's Call. We need your help. And we also need a property, a piece of land, and we can put in trust for a feast. Now, that land will probably 5 acres, 5 to 7 acres will be plenty. But we need a place together that we're asking for 500 acres if someone has it. The Bible said, ask that you might receive. We're not begging. We're just asking. We're using faith to believe that the Father's going to prepare a place where I can teach 7 days a week to people who love the Word. I've got a lot to say, and an hour doesn't get it done. I just get warmed up in an hour. I get the truck in at 3 and 4 hours. I can preach for 7 or 8 hours a day and never open the Bible and never misquote the Scripture. And that the Father has given me, a love for His Word and a love for His people. You see, there wouldn't be any use to love the Word and study to show yourself approved unless the Father would give you listeners that had a heart to receive it. So I'm thankful for those that do. Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. This is our sponsor tonight. I'm giving you this up, and we have others that contribute to the Shepherd's Call. But we don't give their telephone number unless they request. But if you support, want to be known as one of the sponsors of the Shepherd's Call, please call me tonight. If you have any land, call me. And let me come and look at it. You'll get to meet Pastor Buddy in person and anybody else in the faith that would like to come along. So if you have something that you can help us with in this line, do so in the name of Yah. And actually do it quickly, because we're in the last days. I deliver to you the very heartbeat of my heart. But Satan come to deceive and lead astray with wrong thinking, according to 2 Corinthians 11:3, and 1 Timothy 4:1, and James 3:15. And he attempts you, as it's recorded in 1 Thessalonians 3:5. Well, also got to get out of here. Let me get up and get out of here. I greet you around the radio network. This is Pastor Buddy. I'll see you next Sunday night. on WWCR exclusively. God bless you.
The world is in the car. It's hard to be against the truth.